And welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. David Corton, who is a journalist, author, analyst, and economist. He is the chairman of the board of Yes Magazine and co-chair of the New Economy Working Group. He has been a Harvard Business School professor, a captain in the United States Air Force, a Ford Foundation project specialist, and a regional advisor to the U.S. Agency for International Development. His books include the international bestsellers When Corporations Rule the World, The Post-Corporate World, Life After Capitalism, and The Great Turning from Empire to Earth Community. His latest book is Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Corton.
Delighted to be with you, Ian.
And the president is supposed to do a speech on Thursday about jobs. Already the Republicans have shown their disrespect and disdain for our first black president by fighting over the timing of the address. I'm not sure a speech is going to solve the problem, but what do you think the president can say?
Well, that's a very interesting question. He could say most anything. My guess is that his speech will focus on the points that he's already been making about jobs, pushing trade agreements, which is a net jobs killer, proven time after time. He talks about payroll tax cuts, which undermine Social Security and Medicare by reducing their funding and giving the Republicans more traction to overcome those. I'm hoping that he will put some emphasis on the other proposal that he's put forward, which would be an infrastructure bank to finance rebuilding America's infrastructure. Now, there are two big questions. How is that done? And what I'm hoping for is that he might suggest a focus on rebuilding our national infrastructure around green energy and retrofitting our buildings for energy efficiency, building a modern transportation system that is not auto-dependent. Whether he will do that or not, I don't have a lot of confidence. The other interesting question is, how would it be funded? And, the conventional answer would be funded through borrowing from Wall Street. I think the more interesting idea is one that Bill Greider, who's an expert on the Federal Reserve, has put forward, that an infrastructure bank could be funded directly with Federal Reserve money that otherwise goes into the Wall Street banking system to fund their speculations, corporate mergers, CEO bonuses, and so forth. But that money could instead be directed directly into the infrastructure bank, so that new money creation actually flows into the real economy rather than into the Wall Street economy. So that's one initiative that I hope he will bring forward. Now, of course, the things that he's not likely to bring in, but are the things that we really need to focus on for long term in terms of putting America to work, building a 21st century America. The first and obvious one is increase taxes on Wall Street and redirect that money to Main Street. Now, this relates to the fact that we've got basically two economies in America, a Wall Street economy and a Main Street economy. And the advantage is the policies all favor Wall Street, which specializes in speculation, asset bubbles, asset stripping, usury, and a whole lot of other things that do the economy no good. And in fact, Wall Street is extremely efficient at destroying jobs, offshoring jobs, downsizing, and so forth. So, putting money into Wall Street is not where you want it to go. And yet, over the past 30 years, virtually all the benefits of economic growth have gone to Wall Street. So that should be sending us a message that we're not paying attention to. It's Main Street economy where the focus is on putting people to work, producing goods and services that are essential to daily living. So, in a sense, the more we tax Wall Street to finance projects that put money into Main Street, and particularly our local banks, the more our economy is going to flourish. Now, other major initiatives, there are a lot of folks around the country working on on legislation to create state banks on the model of North Dakota. And it's very interesting. Ellen Brown just published an op-ed noting that the unemployment rate in North Dakota is 3.3%, contrasted to the national 9.1%. They've had annual payroll growth of 5.2%. The state has continuous budget surpluses, and it has the nation's lowest foreclosure and credit card default rates. And that much of that can be traced to a state bank that keeps money in the community in North Dakota and circulating into through community banks that are funding local businesses and local farmers. The other really big issue that is exactly the opposite of his focus on trade agreements, which will further push the outsourcing of America's manufacturing and research capability, is to rethink fundamentally our international economic policy framework to put a focus on rebuilding American manufacturing and research and moving the international economy frame from one of free trade to one of balanced trade, where we're not running up huge international debts, but we are actually engaged in the kind of trade that is the foundation of real market trade theory. So those are my my suggestions on what I'd like to see Obama say and what I hope he will would move away from.
So David Corton, how you've written at your blog at the New Economy Working Group, how to liberate America from Wall Street, and it would seem that the liberation has to take place politically, because the reason we've have these policies is that Wall Street has captured our government, and as you know, our government operates on money. It's all about money, and the Supreme Court has now opened the floodgates to unlimited money. So that means the more money you have, the more political power you can buy. That's the unfortunate situation. The North Dakota model is extremely interesting. How do you expand that to a national model?
Well, essentially through one would be the initiative suggested with the Federal Reserve. I mean, creating an infrastructure bank that's funding projects that put money into the economy at the local level, hiring workers to rebuild America's infrastructure. But the other piece of that, of course, is fundamentally reforming the Federal Reserve, which now operates essentially as an arm of the Wall Street bankers, and mainly concerned with maximizing the profitability of these predatory banks. We need to make that a true federal institution. It needs to have some independence, but it also needs to be accountable to the public interest, not the Main Street interest. It's been creating money with accounting entries. At the time of the financial crash, the audit showed that the Federal Reserve had essentially created some $13 trillion. Just with accounting entries, feeding it primarily into Wall Street as well as into foreign banks and corporations. That's a basic part of the money system. But instead of feeding that new money to stimulate the economy into Wall Street institutions that use it to play these financial games, it needs to be fed into something like an infrastructure bank that puts that new money directly to work in the productive economy. Now, the whole idea here of that report, how to liberate America from Wall Street rule, is to recognize that the money system is the system of power in society. It works kind of like the operating system of the economy. And the issue is who controls the creation and allocation of money, which then determines where money flows. And Wall Street's been in a campaign beginning in the 1970s of shifting us away from a system of community banking, local banks, credit unions, mutual savings and loans, many of them organized as cooperatives, that effectively controlled the creation and allocation of credit and focused it on funding local businesses, homeowners, farms, and so forth, to create community wealth, to engage in productive activity. Now, through the process of deregulation, Wall Street has consolidated that power unto itself, shifted it away from the community level, and at the same time then transformed it from focusing on real investment and creating real wealth to funding speculation and all of the games that Wall Street now plays, not even to the benefit of the shareholders of these banks, but mainly to maximize the generation of CEO bonuses.
And that's the too big to fail monopolies, where five banks basically control the entire economy. So just in the last couple of minutes then, David Corton, what do we do about the 18% unemployment amongst Americans under 24?
Well, that, of course, you know, any job initiative starts with activities that put money into the Main Street economy, where people can create jobs. The youth unemployment problem is, of course, a critical element of the overall unemployment problem. It's the new people coming into the workforce have the biggest difficulty finding jobs, and of course it's not just youth, it's also particularly communities of color and particularly African Americans that have the biggest problem finding jobs. And of course, if we're creating jobs in the construction industry, we are creating jobs that can absorb some of that younger population. So I don't have specific suggestions particularly targeted to those groups. I think, we need to deal with the overall situation, and that presumably will benefit all.
Well, the irony is, of course, that these are the young people who voted for the president, and if they don't vote next time around, we'll have President Perry. I thank you for joining us, Dr. David Corton.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
And then we'll revisit this later next week, I think, if you don't mind.
Excellent.
I'd like
Excellent.
To catch up more with you. Again, I've been speaking with Dr. David Corton, a journalist, author, analyst, and economist. He's the chairman of the board of Yes Magazine and co-chair of the New Economy Working Group. His latest book is Agenda for a New Economy, From Phantom Wealth to Real Wealth. Let's take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a labor historian.
There once was a union maid, she never was afraid of the goons and the ginks and the company finks and the deputy sheriff that made the raid. She went to the union hall when a meeting it was called. When the company boys come around, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't.